Good morning, it's Mengezi Sikali here on the Mengezi Show, right here on Radio Life and Style, 88 FM. I hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday. The sun's out, it's a bit chilly today, but the sun is still out. We're having the Durban summer and winter all the time, as usual. So, today we're having a wonderful topic. It's all about artificial intelligence. And I'm not having this discussion alone today. I still have my wonderful guest who has been joining me for the past few weeks. And she is having her last week this week, but it is the ever so gorgeous Azana. How are you doing, Azana, today?
I'm so good, Mengezi. How are you doing?
I am feeling splendid. I'm feeling splendid today. How are you feeling about the topic today about artificial intelligence? When I speak about that, what comes to mind?
AI, what comes to mind is something that's very outdated. I think whenever I search something online and it gives me an AI description, it's always very updated, and by this I mean like daily updated. Which is something that's really good and lovely to see on the internet. So yeah. it's I wouldn't say trustworthy.
You wouldn't say trustworthy. Look,
but it's updated.
AI has its own skepticism in it. And look, one thing I actually want us to give a bit of a focus on or lens towards is how AI could actually solve one of South Africa's biggest challenges in the education sector today. Because I actually want us to have a chat about the normal South African today, the one that is growing up in the rural area, anything like that, and who has limited access or opportunities to resources to actually learn more things in comparison to someone who's growing up in the city, you know, or in a more developed area. And those kind of things, we just, how can AI actually help students within the rural areas and in the rural schools, you know?
I do feel like it could help in many ways. One of the ways that I think of is how in Puzulu as a secondary school, where I run a choir, they have only 7 teachers and the subjects are more than that for other schools. So if there's 7 teachers already, you can tell that they're limited in the subjects that they actually have in the school. So yeah, if maybe AI could help with that and introducing new subjects to the learners, that would be something that's really good because there's a shortage.
Yeah,
there's limited amount of textbooks because they don't have a library.
Yeah,
and just thinking of AI, since it's so limited and that's where you can find everything, it could be a source of information and books for the children. So it definitely is helping in that way and in that sense. And also another thing that I've noticed, Mengezi, when children come from the rural areas,
yeah,
and they matriculate and they go to university,
like tertiary, yeah,
they normally don't excel in IT because they have limited access to technology. And so if AI was introduced in the rural areas, then they would have an understanding and be able to thrive and reach their fullest potential even after matric.
So making sure that these students are well prepared for actually entering, let's say, the job market or even entering into the tertiary sector of learning, how can we kind of introduce AI into schools? Because that has been the question now, because I believe a lot of schools are quite skeptical of even introducing AI because they have this feeling that students may start cheating on the exams or anything like that. It will cripple their thinking, whereby their problem solving gets taken away because AI would be just the solving the problem and anything like that. But it's very important that we kind of find a way to monitor it and be able to enforce it in a way whereby it doesn't disadvantage someone but actually becomes more of an advantage going forward, because we're now living in an age whereby AI is actually at its highest point or peak, and I don't believe that we should cripple our students or by not exposing them to something as such and be giving them the ways to understand the tools
Definitely.
And exactly. Going forward, because the first step is in the first time in history, knowledge is no longer alive in a classroom, but it can be directly found on a phone. You know
Beautiful.
What I mean?
I think that's lovely said, Mengezi. I do feel that transition has to be gradual. It shouldn't feel like a train smash. You know, maybe starting from when they're young, the next generation of children that are then going to enter school, maybe if we started that way, rather than taking it straight to the seniors of high school, that could hinder a lot of things from happening and their understanding as well, because you can't then tell me to write an exam when I've been taught by AI for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I haven't been exposed to technology from the age of 6.
Yeah.
So maybe if we start from the bottom going up, change that is for the better, normally sometimes takes longer. So it's definitely something that would have to transition smoothly, slowly, and in the right way.
100%. And just to kind of leave you with that, just a question I would like to leave you with in your mind is that, do you think technology can help improve education in South Africa? And up next, World Hold On. So the time is 20 minutes till 10 o'clock, and you're still listening to Radio Life and Style, 88 FM. So, the topic now is all about learning in your own language. So, when last did you learn something and it was actually in your home language? Let's say if you are Afrikaans and you learned something in Afrikaans. And if you are Zulu, when last did you learn something in Zulu?
My first thought when you mentioned that was how my Zulu class used to be my favorite class, and it's where I excelled the most because I had more understanding about what we were learning about. So my favorite subject was Zulu.
Yeah.
That's where I actually got to really connect and think clearly, because I speak Zulu at home. You know, there's a lot of children who also feel this way, because children speak isiZulu, isiXhosa, sesotho, shivenda at home, and when they get to school, when they then get to learn in their languages, they find it that it's easier to learn a new language.
And I feel like one of the biggest barriers to education isn't let's say intelligence or anything like that, but it's most importantly understanding. And and understanding often starts with the language that you speak, and also, do you comprehend whatever is being spoken about, you know? And it brings a question towards now that in our South African education system right now, are students given enough tools to actually understand that the work that they're doing, and are they able to comprehend it to actually put it in practice as a whole?
You know, it's actually said that a lot of children, they learn things, but they don't understand them. So they can say, the dog is running. But if you would actually to ask the child, what does that mean, Mengezi? The child wouldn't be able to tell you what it means, which is something that I think is mind-blowing, because you think your child is learning, but they actually don't comprehend it. So it is actually still a big problem, because when they go back home, they speak isiZulu and they speak isiXhosa. So it's something that is a big problem currently, that I think also people are looking into it. I think last year it was highlighted even in the competition of Miss South Africa. The reigning queen, Kawe, was her advocacy was about that, and it won, because she was talking about in grade 4 learners not being able to comprehend what it is that they're reading.
Powerful, because it's so important to actually be able to comprehend whatever is being spoken to you. It's like when you're writing an exam, the one thing that makes you fail is not because you haven't learned the content or anything like that, but it's failure to understand how they're asking it. And failure to understand it's you not comprehending what's being asked. And that's the biggest point, where comprehension plays a big role in your learning process. And nowadays, we have so much knowledge being given to us. Are we really comprehending it? And what tools can we use to kind of understand that knowledge, you know? Would AI be one of the tools that we can use, do you think, in terms of bridging the gap of learning in your own language?
Definitely. If AI is able to improve the way that we grasp information, then it's definitely something that could help. If a calculator didn't kill math and Google didn't kill research, then I definitely feel like AI won't kill our minds if we use it the right way. Because we have to be cognizant of the fact that AI does give us a lot of information, and it is very updated. So if we set it to not make our minds lazy in the classroom, if we had to work with AI, then it could help people learn things better, even in their own languages, which is superb.
Yeah, 100%. Because now we're being placed in a position whereby innovation is at the door. And do we shut it out or do we let it in? And if we do let it in, do we have the right procedures to ensure that it doesn't end up biting us back? You know, because you have these students that are in class and they start using AI to actually advantage them. But then maybe some students will actually stop learning and just depend on it and be able to just spew answers rather than understand answers. Do you feel as if that gap right there, is that the gap that we now need to try fill?
I think that with that, then we'd have to make sure that the syllabus that we're putting into the AI to teach the children the information is good in a sense that it doesn't make them lazy.
Mm.
So the Department of Education would have to approve that as well, because it has to be in the standards of South Africa. But I think the people who are choosing the syllabus and how it's been explained to children using AI is a very important thing for what you just mentioned, and not making the kids lazy. You know, there is a stigma. The stigma is that AI makes children lazy. How do we then make sure that doesn't happen? Let's structure it in a way that does not make it happen, where people are able to think and strengthen the way that they think when they are using the AI. So let's not weaken our neuroplasticity.
And this is a question to our future leaders who are perhaps listening right now, is that do you think more educational content should be available in South African languages going forward, and how can we also incorporate the use of artificial intelligence to make this happen and make this work for us? Because, you know, we should use these tools to kind of make our lives a bit more better rather than use these tools to disadvantage our lives, you know. And up next, we still have Shania Twi, I'm Gonna Get You Good. So that was a wrap of our show today. We spoke quite dearly about AI and quite strongly about how we can kind of enforce it and try and put it into our society in a way whereby it's there to advantage our youth going forward and growing up, rather than disadvantaging it. And the time is still 8 minutes till 10 o'clock. We're about to have the Dave Charles Show coming up next. And please do stay tuned. He has quite interesting people to speak to. And Azana, any closing remarks?
Closing remarks is that let's be open to change. I think a lot of the times when there's a stigma around a topic, we tend to lean into it without doing proper research. So I do think South Africans and the world globally should be open-minded and try find information about AI and how we can make our lives more convenient and how we can accommodate different people all around the world.
And on that thought, as we all know, all good things do come to an end. And thank you for listening to the Mengezi Show right here on Radio Life and Style 88 FM. I hope you're about to have a wonderful day ahead and you're able to stay prosperous on everything that you're about to do. And stay shining and stay pushing. You're able to do whatever you put your mind towards. My name is Mengezi.
And I'm Azana.
And we're signing out.